The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I never thought that I was carrying my forgiveness like it was weights I was carrying in my hand. And sometimes a visual like that of just beginning, even if I don't drop it, if I loosen it, because what happens is when you're in a dark spot with forgiveness is you're all tied up. Okay, so the fact is you drop it, leave it, let it go. The fact, whether it be a weight, it actually feels like a weight. Because so much of your energy is going, 40% of the time you look back, is feeling guilty, and it's called flashbacks. It happens to a lot of us that have forgiveness issues of things we've hurt people on. How do you ever forgive yourself when you've hurt people you love? Well, you need to kind of loosen up a little bit and get a little weight off you to do that.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was audio from a series of testimonies. You'll hear a few more of them this hour as we talk about forgiveness. That comes from the Forgiveness Institute, KC, Inc. You can check it out. I love what was said there. I was thinking about that in light of what just went down last week in Florida. I don't know if you followed this story. It was a horrible one. Remember Nicholas Cruz? He was the young kid who was just charged with 17 counts of murder, 17 counts of attempted murder. He was the very disoriented kid who went in and opened in the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. That happened back in February of 2018. Well, he was in a courtroom last week, and prosecutors laid out case by case the horrors of what this kid did. And then he went ahead and he pleaded guilty. And the penalty phase of his trial begins in January of next year. He's eligible for the death penalty. And I saw one headline that just struck me because, you know, St. Faustina she wrote often that the greater the sinner, the greater the right that they have to God's mercy. And I know you're a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I'm probably the biggest of us all, right? I'm relying on God's mercy. We need mercy. I often think we'll be measured with the cup with which we measure. I saw a line that grabbed my headline, and one of the victims, and I understand this. I don't want to diminish in any way their loss. I know I'd probably almost feel the same way, but intellectually I know I should not. But when somebody takes somebody you love or injures somebody you love, totally different story, right? And this person said, I don't think he deserves mercy. And I don't know, that was just like a knife to the heart. I think we all deserve mercy. You know, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to mercy, as Jesus told Faustina. But it's hard. And again, I'm not in their shoes. I'll share a quick story with you. It's a small one. I've shared it with you before. I remember, as I shared with you in the past, my wife and I were asleep in bed. Phone rings. It's 2 a.m. And it's my son. I could barely understand a word he's saying. He's, Dad, I make out that he's been jumped. Somebody, you know, bludgeoned him. They cold cocked him and left him there, shattered his jaw. He was walking down the street. He was coming home from watching a basketball game with his friends. And he was going to his car, and he made a comment, hey, I like your car, whatever it was. And the guy, I don't know whether he misinterpreted him or just they wanted to pummel him. It was 2-on-1, and they shattered his jaw. So he was in the hospital. And my first reaction was, man, I would love to do the same thing to that person. You know, I got angry. My Italian blood boiled. I wanted vengeance. I would have loved to curse that person. I wanted ill for that person. As a father, I want to protect my family, right? I just wanted to. That was my first response. It's not a Christian response. In fact, it was the wrong response. So what did I do instead? I said a prayer for the person that did this to him. I prayed for my son, but I also prayed for them. And we were 2 hours apart. I couldn't get down there right away. And I asked God, I said, Lord, I don't feel like forgiving this person, nor do I want to do that, but I forgive them. I forgive them. And that's what I did. It was an act of the will. I prayed for them. Even though I wanted the worst for them, I asked God to give them the best to bring about conversion. So look, that's just my son getting, you know, having his jaw broken, you know. Imagine having somebody come in and shoot up a school and kill somebody that you love. So during the trial, Cruz made the statement to the families of the children that were killed. And he told them, look, I'm sorry for what I did. I've got to live with this every day. I know you don't believe me, but it brings me nightmares. I just want you to know I am really, sorry, and I hope you give me a chance so that I can help others. It did not go over well, right? It sounds like hollow words to a lot of parents. I guess one father said, maybe someday, you know, we'll find room in our hearts to forgive him, but that's not the same as mercy. I don't think he deserves mercy. So this is a conversation we need to talk about today. I think we need to talk about mercy. We need to talk about forgiveness. Chuck Hansen is going to be joining me in a second here. We'll get him on. And maybe you're struggling with this yourself. Maybe your spouse cheated on you. Right? That's a deep wound. Maybe your business partner swindled you out of money. Maybe you've been falsely accused. Maybe you're listening to me right now in a jail cell and you're an innocent man or woman. You know, maybe you've been raped or victimized. Maybe you've committed an abortion and you just can't forgive yourself. Right? It's such an important conversation for us to have today. Just to give you perspective on this shooting, there was another series of shootings that took place back in 2016 and 2017. They didn't get a whole lot of national attention. Didn't get the same level that the Parkland shooting got. These shootings took place in Kansas City, Missouri, and there was a serial killer that stalked the city, hiking and basically stalked their hiking and biking trails, and they randomly killed six people. His case is going to come to trial, I think a year from now. It's taken a long time because the judge had originally ruled that he was innocent. He was incompetent to stand trial. But one of the victims of the killer was a man named Michael Darby. His daughter, Allison Darby, a Boddicker, has reached the point where she's been able to forgive this horrible killer, you know, Frederick Scott, her father's killer. And it doesn't mean that she's best friends with him, but she did decide she couldn't hold a grudge in her art anymore. And she was able to reach that point through the help of a man named Chuck Jansen. I think I called him Hansen, Chuck Jansen. And Chuck is a real estate agent in Kansas City, in the Kansas City area. And he also has degrees in theology from Loyola and the Institute of Pastoral Studies. But soon after moving to Kansas City from Chicago, the parish priest at Ascension, the Father Tom Tank of Ascension Parish, told him that, you know, in a parish of about 3,000 family, half of them weren't speaking to each other. And maybe this is happening in your own family. Maybe you aren't speaking with your loved ones. Maybe it's your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your sibling, your parent. It was that program that Allison went through to help her reach the place where she could ultimately forgive her father's killer. And if you want to learn more, you can go to this website, yeahbut.org. It's yeahbut.org. We'll talk about that too. That's kind of an interesting title for a website, but I'd like to invite Chuck Jansen into the program today and get his perspective. Of course, you're always welcome to join us too, so feel free to dial in. Chuck, thank you for your ministry and for your work. It's a delight to have you here today.
Drew, it's my honor. Thank you for having me.
Can I start with your website? Yeah, but that's an interesting website. What's the story behind yeahbut.org?
I'll tell you what, for a long time, I went on my regular website, Forgiveness Institute KC Incorporated, and when I would go around and give presentations or prayer services at parishes, people would always forget it. And then about 3 years ago, it kind of struck me that when I invite people to forgive someone, like I say, you know, you really ought to forgive your dad. And they go, but Chuck, you know what my dad said to me last year on my birthday? In front of all my college friends, you know. Yeah, but. So we decided to name the course The Adventure of Yeah, But, Forgiveness 101.
Oh, I love it. A lot easier to remember, I'll tell you that. That's a great, yeahbut.org is the website.
Well, every once in a while people say, is it B-U-T-T? I said, no, it's yeahbut.org. Yeah.
.org, I love it. Hey, I was sharing this story, and I know you were probably on hold while that was going down, of Allison. And I'd love you to give us some more perspective on that. I mean, I want to run a little bit of audio here, too. Maybe we can do that, Chuck, and you give us a little bit of backstory on it. And then let's run the audio, and then we can talk about this as well. Tell me a little bit about Allison, and we'll run some audio from your institute.
Yeah, everybody in Kansas City knew of the story because it was all over the news. And her father was brutally shot at 6:45 in the morning walking two dogs. And it was a hate crime. And this man had, you know, her dad, Michael, was actually the sixth man that he had shot. But anyway, it happened in May of 2017, and at my parish, you know, I offer classes every spring and fall, and then I usually have a one-night class where I just try to stir their soul and get them thinking about forgiveness and addressing it. And I'm at the back of the room welcoming people, and all of a sudden, Allison and her mother walk in. And it's like, are you at a forgiveness presentation? It just blew me away, and I was just like taken back. And sometimes, you know, I have this prayer. It says, I like to say, empty me of me, fill me with you. Empty me of me, fill me with you. I say it as I walk up to receive communion. And I also say it when I've outpunted my coverage. You know, that's a football term that, you know, you're out of your league, Jansen. Yes. And I said, oh, my gosh, I wonder what Jesus is going to say through me tonight because I have no idea what to tell these people. So that's how I met her. And her mom and her are attending a forgiveness workshop. Well, to make a long story short, she took the Forgiveness 101 class. And when you listen to these clips, you're going to say, is this person for real? What you got to understand is it's taken her 4 years to get to this point. Many hours in the Adoration Chapel, much praying and filtering. And you mentioned it. You said you don't feel. Most people who experience an extreme tragedy like Parkland or anything else, they don't feel like forgiving. And it's a process, and it's a tough process, and it's a long process.
That's such an important point. I want to play a clip from Allison, and this goes for anyone who's listening right now. I mean, you may have been deeply wounded, and you were called by Christ to forgive. I mean, that's what he commanded us to do as he hung on the cross. He gave us the example of that, and, you know, love is an act of the will. I think forgiveness is as well, and it's also a choice. You know, I was involved in a business deal, Chuck, years ago. I had a person who worked on a documentary or two with me, and I had a lot of respect for the person. And this person went on and really misrepresented me to a lot of the investors in the program and people that we had worked with, and ultimately tried to you know, steal the work that was done. And in the end, you know, create a great division. And I felt deeply betrayed by this person who I considered almost a partner. And it took me a long time to forgive the person because of the damage that they had done and the division that they had called. But one day I simply said to the Lord, Lord, you know what? I don't feel like forgiving this person, you know, but I do. And I legitimately prayed for that person. It's funny, once you make that commitment, once you perform that act of the will, suddenly there comes a freedom, a release from the chain that had bound you to that person or to that wound or to that unforgiveness. And, you know, there was a point where I couldn't stand the person to the point now where I could pray for that person, you know, and truly love the person. And it's history. It's forgotten now. I mean, it's not, I know sometimes they say, you know, you don't have to forget, but it's that far behind me that, you know, it's not even an issue anymore. But let me share Allison's comment here where she talks about how forgiveness is actually a choice. And I think it's a lesson for all of us. Listen to this.
So forgiveness is really a choice, and it's obviously not easy for anyone, but you have to make the effort, right? You have to put one foot in front of the other. And for me, I couldn't carry the burden of hating someone or having an angry heart every day because it feels so heavy. And to me, that's a punishment to myself, right? This person doesn't even know me. Am I going to let him take my life too? No, I can't do that. So I had to choose, right, myself and my faith and my family and to move forward. And I have to choose it every day because you make that choice, but you have to make it a lifestyle. You know, it's not one day, it's the rest of your life. And I will not lie. There are days when I do feel a heavy heart or we have to go to court and I find myself getting ready, you know, at home to go there. And I do feel anxious or I do feel unsettled. I mean, I feel like that's very natural, you know, and we're in the same room, the same courtroom, and we're breathing the same air. And he's maybe from you to me. And my heart does race. I mean, it's a feeling of anxiety, I think. He probably doesn't know I exist. He probably has no idea who I am or who my family is. But I know who he is. And he's present in my life. But I have to make a choice for him to not control my life. I have to make the choice to live a free life and to live a life where I have a lot of hope.
Again, it was Allison Chuck. I love what she had to say. I think that goes for everyone. It's difficult. Maybe you can walk us through some of the steps. What do we do if somebody has hurt us? I mean, she suffered an unbelievable loss. What are the steps to actually forgive and really let go, really forgive? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, God bless you, Drew, for your overcoming your business deal and getting to forgive him. That is not an easy route. And, you know, when you listened to Allison, what did you hear?
Exactly what I said. Look, forgiveness is a choice. And as a result of it, she found freedom and she found hope. She has a lot of hope now moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, when you're bound to your unforgiveness, you're deprived of all that. You know, you're bound in the past and you're tethered to that wound.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. I mean, she is just so beautiful where she's gotten. And when people listen to her, they go like, is she for real? It's like it's taken a long time to get to that point. The steps, I desperately tried for years and years to get a chronological order of forgiveness. You know, like I wanted to come up with A, B, C, D, E, and therefore F. Or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and therefore 6. And what I learned is that forgiveness is so personal and so emotional and so complex. You know, it's not math, it's calculus. I mean, it's difficult. And of all the, every time I came up with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I heard a life story or life experience that it went 1, 2, 4, 3, 6, you know. But the one thing I learned, I guarantee you, Drew, is that dealing with the emotions has to be the first step. I call it AOP, where you acknowledge, own, and process your feelings, because feelings are really important. I mean, they're beautiful. That's why we got married. That's why we went into the job we have. You know, feelings are important. But when you get hurt and the wounds, oh my gosh, the first year I just listened to people. And I remember going back to Father Tom, and I said, Father Tom, forgiveness has everything to do with how you handle your emotions. Because I said, people are hurt. They are hurt. He kind of smiled at me, and he goes, you're on the right path. Keep going, Chuck. You know,
and Chuck, here's the thing, too, right? I mean, honestly, you don't have to forget that person burning you in the business deal or the, you know, the act of infidelity, betrayal, whatever it might be, right? I mean, you don't have to forget it. We are called to forgive it. We're not called to stay in a repeated pattern of abuse or behavior. But let's talk about that aspect of this conversation as well, because we are called to forgive. And you hear, oh, forgive and forget. Speak to that if you could. I mean, how do you forget somebody killed your father? I don't think you ever can do that, right? So maybe bring some clarity to that issue, because you often hear, oh, you need to forgive and forget. I don't know if that's entirely true, right?
It's an excellent point, Drew. You won't ever forget. When you get deeply wounded or people have incidences in their life, and I tell them, you deserve to quit suffering because of what somebody did to you or an event. But you know, forgive and forget. You know, Louis Schmiedes was a great psychologist and Christian thinker in the 80s, and he had the line, to forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover the prisoner was you.
Wow, that's great.
You don't ever forget. You'll always remember it. But he kind of, Schmiedes taught that the litmus test is, can you pray for somebody's well-being? That's kind of a litmus test. Like if you can pray, like if Allison can pray for that man's well-being, then it's true that she's forgiven him, right? You know, but. Wow.
Well, my guest today is Chuck Jensen. Chuck, let me do this. Let me open the phones. We got a few calls for you. If you've got a question or if you have a story, maybe you're going through a tough situation right now and you just can't get beyond it. Maybe you can't forgive yourself. I think that's the hardest person ultimately to forgive. You might be going to confession again and again, or you might be just beating yourself up over the mistakes that you've made. Or maybe somebody's really hurt you and you are holding on to that animus. I know sometimes in divorces, you know, I heard one person once say to me, I mean, he just could not let go of the infidelity of his wife and what happened. But really, in some respect, that was the last connection he had to her. When you let that go, what would he have left? And I know that, man, he finally has found relief. I've had many conversations with him over the days, but I'd love to hear your story and also love to hear what you're going through right now. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149, my guest today, Chuck Jansen, and we'll get you plugged into his website and a whole lot more. We'll be back right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The most difficult challenge that we have in forgiving others is when the individual or the perpetrator is unwilling to acknowledge that they have hurt you. And it even becomes more difficult if the hurt continues. For example, in a marital relationship, when a husband or a wife is abusing their spouse and it continues, and they don't acknowledge that what they're really doing is very, very hurtful. And the reason is because there's a sense of judgment that's in our heart that really wants justice. And in order to receive justice, there needs to be an acknowledgement that a wrong has taken place. And so when the perpetrator is unwilling to acknowledge it, it's very, very difficult to fully forgive an individual. However, it's also important to realize that psychologically and spiritually, there's great benefit for us to forgive even in those situations. Secondly, I think forgiving ourselves is also very, very difficult because we continue to live with the realization that we're not perfect. We never will be. And so there is that lingering guilt that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And that's why an understanding of Jesus's love and eternal forgiveness for us is so therapeutic. We can call it a religion, or we can call it psychological, but basically it is fundamental in terms of our human existence that we hurt others, we feel guilty, and we need to be relieved of that.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You know, what a great piece of audio. It makes me think of a story of a woman I once heard. And I don't know how I'd respond in some of these situations. I'll be honest. I don't know how you would respond. Her name was Victoria Rivolo. And she was the victim just of a random act of violence. She was a 44-year-old woman, right? She's driving on the highway. It's around this time of year. It was getting close maybe to Thanksgiving. And there were a group of teenagers. They were either on an overpass or they were driving in the opposite direction, and they hurled a 20-pound frozen turkey at her oncoming car. And it went right through the windshield. It smashed her face. She woke up. She was in a coma for at least 2 weeks. And when she came to, she had no idea what was going on. And you know, she didn't know how hurt she was or what happened. She went to the bathroom. And when she looked in the mirror, she saw this, you know, tracheotomy tube in her throat. She saw the bandage. She saw the distorted face. She didn't recognize herself. Her esophagus had been caved in. Both cheeks of her jaw were shattered. The socket of one of her eyes was fractured. She actually suffered brain damage from this random act of violence, you know, lack of respect for a fellow person. And the guy who did it to her was a young kid. He was only 18 years old. He was a freshman in college. His name was Ryan Cushing. And at the time, the prosecutors described the kid as being shy, kind of a follower. And he was going to face at least 25 years of his life in prison if he was convicted. And at the trial when this was going on, I mean, the kid was genuinely, genuinely sorry for what had happened. It was a terrible mistake. When the trial took place, Victoria stepped up and she asked the judge to show mercy. And I thought, oh my gosh, how can you muster the ability to do that? I mean, that's heroic virtue. She said, look, I don't think, you know, that would have done him, myself, she said, or even society any good. What's this lengthy prison cell going to do to this kid? That would have made him just more nasty and bitter. And she was at the courthouse. He pled guilty, he came over to her when it was over, and his eyes were watering up, swelling with tears. and he started to apologize. And Victoria simply took him in her arms and she comforted him. She comforted him. And I was always so impressed by this woman's love, by her charity and her mercy. Here's a woman who the rest of her life is going to suffer from this injury. And yet she showed compassion and mercy to a person who probably least deserved it. And it's tough because, you know, Cushing and his friends in particular, nobody stopped even to call 911 after the turkey went through her windshield. She could have died that night. That's heroic virtue. It's love and it's mercy. It's forgiveness. And believe it or not, it's what you are called to do too. God calls you to the same path. Now, maybe you won't face a trauma as radical or dramatic as she faced. But believe me, we all, regardless of our walk in life, we are all called to extend love and mercy and forgiveness to those who injure us. We'll not escape this life without those opportunities. Trust me. I've encountered many of them myself. I know you will as well. My guest today is a man who's intimately aware of this. His name is Chuck Jansen. And Chuck, I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Victoria Rivolo. I always remembered it. I think she passed away recently, but what an amazing story of mercy and forgiveness. And you know, I'd like your take on this, because is forgiveness part of mercy? I mean, how does that work?
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that beautiful story. My gosh, Victoria is a wonderful role model for us. Victoria, I would call her a saint. I mean, for people to get where they show mercy for someone who is deeply wounded and hurt them, that's following the path of God. You know, that's doing what God calls us to do. But just because God calls us doesn't mean we can always do it. We're all sinners. We're all human. But man, Victoria, she's a beautiful role model for us to learn from, you know, to show compassion and mercy for the person who greatly altered her life. There's lots of stories about that. I mean, you know, but anyway, that's reaching a level that very few can get to, even though we're all called to it.
It's so true. Let's take a few calls here. I want to hear your story too, Chuck, because, you know, I know we have a mutual friend, Father John Claude, who's just did a film on purgatory. He actually recommended you to me, and I, you know, I know you've got a great story. He was sharing a lot with me about it. Purgatory. It's Confession, the Miracle Box. Did. There's a new film out on purgatory that I was part of. It's been on the front of my mind that I. But let's go to the phones first. We'll grab a few calls, and then I'd love you to share part of your story as well. I think it'll help a lot of people. Chuck is listening in Miami. Chuck, you're on the air, Mr. Jansen. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you, Drew. Chuck, I had a question for you regarding forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness to the person that you're forgiving, and more specifically, how it relates to their salvation.
Okay. The person that you're asking if how the salvation of the person that you're forgiving.
Yes. Our forgiveness or unforgiveness binds or looses them in heaven. So our forgiveness is critically important to them at a future date, is my understanding.
Chuck, you've hit the nail on the head, Chuck. I mean, it's critical for us to forgive people. It's such a blind spot for people. If you look at the Bible and you look at Scripture, and it's really clear. You don't have to be a Scripture scholar or know where it was said or what town it was said or was it, you know, what language it was said. It's if you forgive others your transgressions, your Father will forgive your transgressions. If you do not forgive others' transgressions, neither will your Father to you. You know, Father Clote did the beautiful film, and it basically says, if you don't walk through the door of mercy, you're going to walk through the door of judgment. Yeah. And Chuck, you hit the nail on the head. We are called to forgive people who have hurt us and harmed us, and it is leading them to salvation and understanding. It's really difficult to comprehend. I'm not saying it's easy. I've listened to many of people's stories. It's not easy to forgive. And Allison makes a distinction. It's even tougher to forgive a family member than it is to forgive somebody that you don't even know. Like she says, the person who shot her father, it was easier to forgive than a lot of times with a relative, because the people we love the most hurt us the most. Mm-hmm. They hurt us deeply. And that's tough. It's a tougher order. But Chuck, I think it's critical for us to forgive and then lead them to salvation, because once you forgive others, it's amazing how it catches on. It's just fascinating because people are so motivated and moved by, you know, your ability to forgive and to wish them well.
Well, Chuck, thank you for that call. I'm going to move along just because of time. Maureen is listening in Texas. Hi, Maureen. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for calling. Go right ahead, Maureen.
Hi. Okay, I had a question about my husband was killed when my sons were young. They were 2, 4, 6, and 8.
Oh,
and it was a crime. And they're now 21, 19, 17, and 15. How do you know if they're not forgive, you know, if they don't have forgiveness, or if it's something that's an issue for them? I mean, other than bringing them, I guess, to therapy, which I don't think they would say anyways, but just like in there, have you ever worked with, you know, children on this, and especially as they go through their life, you know, they're now say, like, they'll say stuff about it, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, a couple of quick comments. First of all, Maureen, God bless you that you're asking the question, because that's a big deal. No, but that's a big deal. You want what's best for your children. I was being interviewed by Archbishop Nauman of Kansas City, Kansas, and we were chatting, and I said, Archbishop, do you have anybody in your family that, you know, people haven't forgiven somebody? And it wasn't until 3 or 4 minutes later that he came back to it, and he said that his father was shot while he was in the womb. And he said his mother was a beautiful role model not to be angry and full of resentment. And it was kind of during the interview that he had that realization, and he loves his mother very much, and his mother has since passed away. But it was kind of a beautiful realization that I got a hunch, Maureen, and welcome to the world. You and I are human and we're sinners, but how you handled your emotions during that process did go on to your sons. Now, you could just ask them and see if they have trouble forgiving, or you could be proactive and say to them, hey, when your father was killed, it really hurt me deeply, and just share your feelings. Be vulnerable to them. It's okay to be vulnerable, you know. Kids learn a lot when we as parents are vulnerable. Does that help them out a little bit, Maureen?
It does help. They're boys, so they don't talk a whole lot about it, and they've always been, which, you know, I lost my mother when I was young, and the way my dad dealt with it was, okay, let's go, let's move on, and it's kind of, you know, we had a lot of stuff after that.
Yeah, it's, well, you're right. Boys, I mean, the one thing with forgiveness process is some people have to talk about it a lot, and some people don't talk about it much at all. And I raised, my wife and I, of 41 years married, we raised two boys and a princess. And girls do react differently than boys. And I think God picks special moms to have three boys, you know, and it's tougher, you know. But you are a beautiful role model to them, and Christ's love can come through you as you try to live out the gospel. And it's not an easy, with forgiveness, it's kind of a blind spot. Everybody is like, oh, well, I go to church and I'm wonderful, I'm holy, but yeah, but they go, yeah, but they can't forgive somebody. And we've got to spend more time studying forgiveness, and we've got to spend more time looking at it, because the devil is active in the world today. You know it. Drew does a wonderful job of reporting all sorts of news where we see the devil very active, and the devil just delights if you don't forgive. But it's tough. It's not an easy road.
Maureen, just keep, I would just, my suggestion to you is just as a parent, you know, keep, when you have the opportunity to discuss it with your children, talk about the importance of forgiving and, you know, the fruit and the benefit that comes from it. And Chuck, you probably know this better than I do. There have been countless studies that have been done on the health benefits of forgiveness. And I'm not just talking about psychological welfare, but it'll boost your immune system. It strengthens relationships. It helps with sleep. It lightens, you know, the load physically. It helps with trauma recovery. I mean, forgiveness does wonders on so many different levels, just the way God created us.
Amen. Bingo. People who make it to the finish line of forgiveness, none of them ever want to go back. They don't want to go back to the yeah, but stage. They don't want to go to the drop it, leave it, let it go stage. You know, they don't want to go back. The benefits of forgiveness is you live a joyful life. You're happy. You dance. You know, you're a joyful Christian.
Let's grab a few more calls. Before I do, Chuck, I think people should hear your story and how you ultimately got into this whole forgiveness ministry. If you don't mind, could you share a little bit of what you went through personally?
Sure. Yeah, I graduated from college. I had a theology degree. You know, I taught high school religion. My wife and I had three kids under the age of four, and it was just difficult making ends meet. I went into real estate. I've been in real estate for the last 30-plus years. But 8 years ago, my spiritual advisor, my spiritual director, him and I, we've known each other for 35, 40 years. And I'm very grateful that God has blessed me with some beautiful role models of men and women in my life, you know, for spirituality. But anyway, so he meets with me one day and he goes, Jansen, I'm going to commission you to, do a class on forgiveness. And I went, huh? And he goes, yeah, I want you to try and help people to have a change of heart and repent, change their attitude and talk to each other, thaw the ice. You know, my initial gut reaction was, Father, I'd rather paint the rectory or something. You know, it's like, really? You're going to make me do this?
And,
so anyway, I started out and I for the first year, all I did was, you know, listen to podcasts, read articles, talk to people, interviewed people. I interviewed tons and tons of people. And then I started developing the course. And what happened to me was kind of like that Louis Schmiede's quote, is that to forgive is to set a prisoner free, realize it's you. Well, I thought I was designing a course. But what I was doing, I was watching a course unfold. You know, that's a big difference. I left creating and I became a witness, because I would come home and I'd say, honey, you won't believe what happened today. You know, that clip that you played was Dr. Mac Harnden. He walked into my class and he spoke in Amman, Jordan at an international seminar on forgiveness. And he's a Presbyterian that his church is a mile from my house, and he walks in. You know, for Allison to walk into my class. Forgiveness, the whole trying to study it has led me to prison ministry. And I've met some amazing people, fascinating people in the prison ministry. But what happened was a course was unfolded to me through time. And all I had to do was open my heart and my mind. And then about 2 years ago, I met with Deacon Dana and I said, this thing's good. I said, it's not about Chuck. It's just, this is good stuff. And he goes, well, why don't you teach a course to train other people? And I said, yeah, during COVID, we're going to offer a train the trainer class. I said, how many people are going to show up? But it's kind of like that build it and they will come. God sent 9 people to take the course. And I was just blown away. So then I went to an internet company, My Catholic Faith Delivered. And I said, would you please consider making this an internet course? And they said no 2 years ago. And then they called me in January and they said, you know, we're up for it. So we have been working. This little part-time job of forgiveness has become a full-time job because I didn't understand what was all part of making an internet course, you know, a digital platform. But here's what happened. I contacted everybody who's taken the course over the last 8 years. And I said, who's willing to go on camera to tell their forgiveness story? And 8 beautiful people came forward. I call them my yeah, but faculty. But they are stunningly beautiful. So I learned I'm not the creator. I said I'm a spoke, a spark, and a flashlight. My job is to shine a flashlight on these phenomenal stories where Christ moved these people to forgiveness. And
I love it. I'll tell you, hold the thought, Chuck. Hold the thought. I have to take a short pause here. When we come back, we'll pick it up. If you are on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air. We're talking forgiveness today with Chuck Jansen. And you can check him out at his website, yeahbut.org. It's easy to remember. Jot it down. And look, maybe God's speaking to you today. Maybe he's calling you to forgive, to let go of those deep wounds you have. Maybe he's calling you to accept his forgiveness and forgive yourself. We'll talk more when I return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Our God is a heart changer. One day I was using cocaine, breaking the law, going to jail after jail, to prison after prison. And then one day, I didn't want to do it anymore. And it's because God impeded my heart and did something inside of me to make me want to go the other way. And that's why every program, first, a person must meet Christ. And then the program will work in his life. Because without Christ, nothing works. I was given the book, The Captivity Series, by Mother Billy Bridgers in prison on my 5th time. And I was on a receiving mode. And I read that book, and it started to teach and train me. It's written by Katie Souza. It started to teach and train me about where I was and what caused me to get to where I was. It was called a curse, and how that curse affected my life. And I started to do things in prison that I'd never done before. The book told me to pray for the warden and to pray for the officers. And so after I started doing that, things started to change. My heart started to get sensitive to this, where I wanted to do it. Then one day the word woke me up and said, Spencer, go get your bunkie's laundry. I said, go get my bunkie's laundry. And after I fought my head, I did it. And I went and get my bunkie's laundry, and the Holy Spirit said, don't tell nobody. And I said, don't tell nobody. Well, I finally got my bunkie's laundry. I put it on his bunk. The next day, the Holy Spirit said the same thing. Go get your bunkie's laundry. I did it. And I went and got my bunkie's laundry, put it on his bunk. The next day, he didn't say anything. I went to work, came back, and my laundry was sitting on my bunk. The Lord showed me that do unto others as you want done to you. And then I knew that the word works. But being a doer of the word is the most important thing. You've got to see God working in your life. And he's got his own system that you have to learn. You have to untie yourself from the world system and get into his system.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I love that. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And I really believe that we are going to be measured with the cup with which we measure. And we'll stand before God. And all we have when we're a naked soul is what we have been able to take with us. And that's our act of kindness, our acts of forgiveness and love and charity. You know, such an important lesson there. The guy who was just commenting there was a guy named Spencer. My guest today, Chuck Jansen, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about forgiveness. And Chuck, maybe a little background on Spencer for those who just heard that clip. He sounds like a fun and really interesting character.
Oh, he's amazing. Spencer Lindsay went in and out of jail 5 times. I teased him. I said, you must not have done anything too serious because they kept letting you go out of, you know, come back out of jail. And because you got to have a little sense of humor with forgiveness because it's pretty intense. And I've learned that in classes. I always make fun of myself. I try to have humor. But Spencer, he came out and he started Working Men of Christ. It's an organization that will help prisoners rehabilitate back into society. And I read his rule book, and I said, Spencer, this is almost like being in prison. And he runs a tight ship, and he says, you know, it's got to be faith-based. He will not accept a prisoner unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he's got 7 different houses, 5 men, 2 women, and he's mostly in the Kansas and Missouri. And right now he's a pastor for Shawnee County, prison system. And I've visited the jail in Topeka, and him and I are devising a program that we can teach in the jail. But there's a lot of beautiful Catholic, just a lot of beautiful people giving ministry to prisoners in the, inside of prison.
And this message, more than any other place, is sorely needed within those prison walls, that's for sure. We only have a few minutes, so let's grab a few more calls here before we run out of time. John's been waiting to join us. He's listening in St. Charles, Illinois. He's got a comment for you. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi, Drew. Hi, Chuck.
Hello.
You know, we worry a lot after an injury. Revenge, as Drew mentioned earlier, and a great quote is the best revenge is to be unlike him who performed the injury. Marcus Aurelius.
Wow. Great Roman
Beautiful.
Military commander. I love it, John. Thank you. A lot of insight there.
Thank you.
You want to comment on that, Chuck, or should I move along?
No, I mean, it's perfect. You know, Chuck from Florida earlier had asked, what can he do with their salvation? You know, if you do what Marcus Aurelius suggested, you empower them, and you're bringing somebody back to Christ who might not be one with Christ.
So Aurelius says the best revenge is to be unlike him who committed the injury. I love that. Thanks, John. Matt in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Matt. Go right ahead.
Are you there? Hi.
Yes.
This is Matt.
Yes.
I have one goal, and that is to help people with this story. And that's why I've called. It's kind of difficult for me to share. But when I was young, about 6 years old, I was abused, sexually abused by 3 people. I was abused, sexually abused by my uncle, whom my parents trusted. And he did right underneath their nose, basically, right in the next room. And I was also abused by 2 neighbors who my father also trusted for a great period of time. So between the ages of 6 and 10, I was molested by those 3 people. And I remember a great deal about what happened to me. When I was about 18 or so, I started having a lot of post-traumatic stress in my life. And I couldn't concentrate, couldn't maintain college, had to drop out and work and then go back eventually to college. And it was a lot of stress in my life. So I went to therapy. I felt at that point I needed some help, and I did. I went and got help. And after a period of time, the memories started coming out, and I started to deal with those memories and all the trauma associated with the memories. But I'm 52 now, and I've been dealing with this trauma for probably most of my life. It wasn't until the past few years that I really forgave my abusers. And it was because of the spiritual component. It was Jesus' divine mercy. And when I learned about divine mercy is when I realized that I needed to have mercy on myself. And I needed to not hold all of the anger, all of the hurt. And all the anger was based on the hurt that I was carrying within me. And so that would just turn into anger. And so that was completely debilitating and really was a tremendous weight on me most of my life. So when I was able to give that mercy to myself, accept that mercy from our Lord, that is when I started to really deal with a lot more of the hurt and not let it turn to anger. This has been a struggle over many, many years. And basically when I was in adoration one day, and I've been trying to really come to a full, complete completion of this forgiveness. And I knew when I did come to completion is that I was able to pray for my abusers. And I was also able to light candles for them in church and pray for them.
Wow.
And so I even actually paid money to pay, you know, for them to light these candles. And I did a number of times. And it's basically you need to forgive yourself. That's such a huge component. And accept that mercy on yourself from our Lord. And through forgiveness, when I was in church during adoration, I was sitting there in the pews praying and thinking about forgiveness. And out of nowhere, a light shone on me through the stained glass window. And I was completely amazed by it because I knew at that point I was where I was contemplating this forgiveness that I had to accept that light.
I love it. And Matt, I got to hold you on that point. Thank you for sharing so beautifully. My thanks
beautiful.
Also Thank you. To Chuck Jansen. Follow him at yeahbut.org.